In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When Jesus led Peter, James, and John up that mountain, I wonder what they thought was about to happen. They knew Jesus often went off on his own to pray. They and crowds are often searching for him, finding him apart in solitude. He might be taking them off to pray with him. Maybe he would reveal to them a new teaching or sermon. He was, after all, their teacher, their rabbi. Maybe some of them, in the back of their mind, thought they might witness a miracle of some kind. Jesus again and again had been performing signs and wonders all across the countryside, in villages and in towns, healing the sick, calming the storm, walking on water, feeding the multitudes. What they got was a little bit of all that. Through this otherworldly and stunning vision, they are revealed the true nature of Christ, hear a declaration from God, and begin to comprehend the glory that is Jesus. Before them, Jesus is transfigured, transformed into this dazzling white. The champions of the Jewish faith are with him, and their heavenly Father commands them to listen to him. Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. These are Peter's words, his response to the awesome sight of Jesus being transformed before his eyes on the mountaintop. Peter wants to build a dwelling. To me, this seems like a perfectly natural reaction. He wants to not only memorialize the miraculous event he has seen, he also wants to house it, protect it, preserve it. If he had gotten his way, I don't think it would be too long before word got out about these mountaintop dwellings. Soon people would be coming to them to catch a glimpse of the glory of Jesus, to offer their prayers and their thanksgiving. These simple structures would soon start to change, growing in shape, scale, and scope. These monuments would become shrines and eventually a church. But that does not happen. No walls are put up, no floor is laid down, no roof is raised. Instead, Jesus instructs his disciples to not speak about what they have seen until he has been raised into his full glory. Peter and the other disciples have only caught a glimpse of Jesus' glory, just a foretaste of what it means that he is God's beloved Son. And it is so magnificent and beautiful that Peter wants to treasure it. But this glory already has a home, a dwelling. It already rests in Jesus, in his very being. His life, his words, his actions, his body is the dwelling place of God's glory. He is a walking, talking, living, breathing sanctuary. In response to his disciples, Jesus points their attention ahead to his trial, death, and resurrection. If they want to know more about what they have just experienced on the mountaintop, then they need to know his passion, the cross, and the empty tomb. It is only then that these disciples will become more than just followers and students of Jesus. Through the grace of God, they would become something new, something more and greater than any one individual. After the resurrection, they would become a part of the living body of Jesus Christ, that same body that houses God's glory. And we, through our baptism and that same grace of God, are members of that living body of Christ in the world. We build dwellings now to help house that glory God shares with us through the living body of Christ. This building shelters it, nurtures it. It also reveals its nature. Just look around you and you can learn some important truths about what we share as the living body of Jesus. Look at the windows, our stained glass windows. Each one tells a story from Scripture, a beautiful rendering of our shared story of faith in God. This is a clear statement that our history, our shared story, is important to us. It says that we share in that story, that we are adding to it still, living out the gospel. That those who have come before us make us who we are today. Have you ever noticed that no matter where you are sitting, you can see the altar? Every sight line is drawn towards it. And not just that, but every pathway radiates from it. The second you set foot in here, your eyes and your feet are led to the altar. Think about that for a moment. The focal point, the heart of this dwelling, is the altar. A place to focus our adoration and worship of God. A place where God's infinite love is shown to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. A place where everyone is called to approach, to take, eat, and drink, and to know that the Lord God is good. It is a unifying focal point that conquers all sin, banishes evil, declares to anyone and all that they are loved by God beyond all reason and understanding. Through grace, God's glory dwells in us. It shines through in our living out the gospel. Every act of charity, every act of compassion, every act of love shines with God's glory. It grows and stirs in our hearts and souls with every prayer of wonder, every prayer of thanksgiving, every prayer for forgiveness. And it dwells in the things we create. This building becomes more than simple brick, wood, glass, and concrete. It becomes a sanctuary where people can enter into communion with one another and communion with God. We are about to enter into the holy season of Lent, a time of reflection, prayer, study, and discipline. I invite you to approach it as a time to reflect on the wonders of being a part of the living body of Jesus Christ, to reflect on what it means to have received transformative grace, forgiveness, and God's love. Lent can be a time when we stop and recognize the glory that Jesus has called us to share in, how through prayer, through charity, through compassion, through love of God and our neighbor, we create a dwelling for that glory to reside in. We prepare in our hearts and soul a sanctuary. If you build a dwelling for Jesus in your soul, the glory of God will radiate through all that you do and all that you create. Amen.